Well, in Psalm 25 and verse 8, we read these words. Psalm 25, verse 8, "Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Therefore will he teach sinners. Let's look to the Lord, please, in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art the gracious God who teaches sinners. Lord, therefore, we can come with confidence and assurance, and we can say, Lord, teach us, because we are sinners. We fall into this category. Lord, we're so glad that it doesn't say that the Lord will teach the intelligent, the intellectual, those of great ability. But Lord, we thank thee it says the Lord will teach sinners. Oh Lord, teach us this evening. Teach us more about the Saviour, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, what I want to do is something slightly different. I want to talk about the children's work. This last week, from Monday to Friday, there was a children's mission in the church. I was able to be down each night, although on Friday night I had to rush away to speak at Larne on the retirement for the Reverend David Gordon. But it was good to see the boys and girls in. Some nights there were up to 50 boys and girls, some never been here before. And we do sincerely thank and appreciate all who helped in whatever way, helping on the bus or taking children yourself and attending, sitting among them. And it is greatly appreciated. And so I want to talk a little about that. And of course, we've had some of the congregation in Poland, again, among boys and girls. I enjoyed the meetings. I enjoyed some of the choruses. Some of the lovely hymn, too, was sung to the tune, O Happy Day. It was a beautiful, great doctrinal hymn on the death and sacrifice and atonement of Christ. There was also a little one. It keeps ringing in my mind even today. I was singing it around the house when no one was around. And it was tremendous. I was always tempted, almost tempted to get the children's workers up to sing it. Oh, there's no volunteers, you see that? And it, so I'm not going to sing it. But it was, it wasn't, Jesus loves the little ones like me, 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 it went. It's almost starting there. Jesus loves the little ones like me. Little ones like me, sat upon his knee. Jesus loves the little ones like me. And then the children would turn round to we adults and they'd go, Jesus loved the older ones like you, you, you. Jesus loves the older ones like you, you, you. Older ones like you. Jesus loves them too. Jesus loves the older ones like you. They sang that every night. And the tune reverberates. And you know, those may seem simple words. But I want to tell you they're the greatest profound words in the world. My, if that truth could be instilled into little hearts, that Jesus loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, that's the message we want to reverberate in their little young minds, to get that deep down in their hearts. You know, we're told over in Matthew 15, and I can't turn to these for time. We're told there in Matthew 5:19, that whosoever shall teach the commandments shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes people say, oh, it's only a Sunday school class. It's only a few boys and girls. Or maybe mother, father, grandparent. You say, oh, it's only one child and I wonder how much they understand. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, whoever you are that teaches the commandments of the Lord to another person, in this case we're thinking of a little child, God considers you great in the kingdom of heaven. So teaching is not a work to be looked down upon. Teaching young boys and girls is not a ministry to be considered unimportant. Not at all. Not at all. God considers it very important. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing in this passage that we read how often it referred to teaching, teaching, teaching? And there are prayers of the psalmist to cry out, teach me, O Lord, teach me thy way. And then when you come to the New Testament, you find that the story of Nicodemus in John 3, and that's one of the passages when I was young. One of the earliest passages I ever learned, I remember, I think it was the Young Sowers League. I'm not sure if it's still in existence. And you had to say passages of Scripture, and we had to learn John 3, 1 to 15. You know, the one about Nicodemus. Man, the ruler, came to Jesus by night. And he said, "We know that thou art a teacher sent from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." The psalmist cries out, "Jehovah," it's the word Lord, Jehovah, "Jehovah, teach me." And there in Bethlehem, Jehovah took onto himself a human body and a human nature. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked the dusty roads of this earth in Israel, the land we know as Israel, he, Jehovah, did teach. I just looked up this afternoon in Mark's Gospel. It's amazing. Chapter 1, verse 21. He taught. He entered into the synagogue and taught. Verse 22. For he taught them as one having authority. Then I went to chapter 2, verse 13. He taught. The multitude was ordered unto him, and he taught them. Then chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Then in chapter 6, both of what they had done and what they had taught. Mark 9:31, for he taught his disciples. Chapter 10, verse 1, he taught them again. That's only the first few chapters. The emphasis on Jesus Christ teaching. His classroom, of course, were the synagogues. The dinner tables, where he went sometimes for suppers. The fields. The roads as they walked. Those were his classrooms. And my, what a teacher he is, the great teacher. That's one of the lovely titles of Christ, the teacher. Every title of our Lord is wonderful, but have you ever thought of him as the teacher? The teacher? I was saved under the ministry of Willie Mullen, as you've heard me say often. I'll never forget going to his Bible class and other places. He would say if he came to a passage, usually the commentaries didn't help. They were struggling. What did he do? He said, "I went in and got alone with the Lord and asked him." You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our teacher. Now, of course, we get help from books and other believers and their learning. Of course we do. It's foolish not to. But in the end of the day, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to teach us. To teach us. That's my first point. First of all, you need a teacher. I need the teacher. All of us need to be taught of the Lord. Have you ever prayed that? Are you praying that tonight as you've come to God's house? Lord, as we meet together on this thy day, Lord, teach me. I need to be taught the word of God. We know that thou art a teacher sent from God. You can be taught. Psalm 25, look what it says. Verse 4, teach me thy paths. Lord, we can pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me. In verse 5, it's repeated. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. There it is again. In verse 8, therefore will he teach sinners. You see, you say, oh, but am I worthy to be taught? No, we're not worthy in ourselves, but God will teach the meek. It speaks in this chapter about teaching the meek. What does that mean? In verse 9, that is, the meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek, will he teach his way? What does meek mean? It means teachable. Teachable. I'll never forget when my wife and I went to Bible school in America with a dear old man as a teacher. And he used to repeat this again and again. And I'm glad he did, because that's one of the keys to good teaching. Now, there's a couple of school teachers here tonight, so I have to be careful because you're expert in teaching. But they tell me that that's one of the principles they repeat. To repeat it. That's what I tell the students too at the college last week. I was in early teaching them talking about how to study in our Bible college and how you go over it, you revise it, you remember it, don't let it go out of your memory, revise it again a couple of days later, then 4 days and so on. Repeat, repeat, learn it. Teachable, have you a teachable attitude? Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to put effort into it? That meekness implies that you're saying, Lord, teach me, and I'll give time to listen and be taught. I'll give time to listen. Imagine praying, Lord, teach me thy word, and yet we never open the Bible. Wouldn't that be a foolish thing to pray? Lord, teach me what your will is, and we never open the book, the textbook that God has given us. But the meek means teachable, and this is what this teacher used to tell us. He used to say this, young people, yes, you have to put study when you're at college, Bible college, you're to work hard, memorize and so on. But he used to say this, listen carefully, he'd say the door to the truth is the will, not the intellect. The door to learning the truth, it is the will, not the intellect. Here's what he meant. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said, as he that doeth his will shall learn of him, and he will manifest himself to them. It's when you obey the truth that God shows you, then he shows you more truth. In Matthew 11, Christ put it this way. He said, God has hidden the truth from the intellectuals. I'm paraphrasing now. And then the quote is, he's revealed it unto babes. Why? Because they were teachable. They were wanting to learn. Do you ever pray, Lord, teach me thy way, instruct me, guide me? And thank God, even those who have sinned, he'll teach us. Verse 12 says, he that fears the Lord, he that fears the Lord. Maybe you say, wouldn't it be wonderful to sit and they hear the Sermon on the Mount and Christ preach? I wonder what his voice sounded like. Or wouldn't it have been great to be with the disciples and heard the parables? Well, thank God tonight you have the precious word of God and you can open it at any time and Christ can speak to you. Speaks to us. Thank God for the written word. Thank God for the Bible. Do you open your Bible and get before the Lord sometime every day and say, Lord, teach me. Thank God for the one who teaches. Second point is this, when I thought about this passage. Not only do we need to be taught, but when you are taught, you need to teach somebody else. When you're taught of the Lord, you're not taught of the Lord to take it all in like a sponge. You need to be squeezed and give it out. Do you remember in Matthew 10, you will read that the Lord called the disciples unto himself to be with him. And then you'll read their names. And then you'll read a little phrase in Matthew 10. Now the apostles. Now, if you read that carefully, you say, why are they called disciples? The Lord called these men as disciples to be with him. And then he calls them apostles. Maybe you say, well, it just means the same thing. No, it doesn't. Well, they're the same people. The 12 apostles are the 12 disciples, but the term's not the same at all. Totally different. The word disciple is the word we get mathematics from. Mathetes. It means a word to be with somebody and to be a pupil and to be taught. That's what it means. And of course, in those days, there wasn't a classroom as today. Men who sat under great teachers in the sense of university level, that type of further learning, they walked with the master as the master would teach. All the different Greek and Jewish leaders taught that way. And the Lord called 12 men to be with him. Why? To teach them especially. To teach them. Oftentimes in the parables he spoke to the crowd. He would get the disciples apart and he would teach them. Teach them. And then you'll read the word and the apostles. What is the word apostle? Apostle is the word from mission. A commission sent out, missionary. He called the 12 men to be with him, to instruct them and to teach them, so that they would go out. Go out to do what? Last chapter in Matthew, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teaching. Teaching. Teaching what? Teaching people all things that Christ has commanded. So Christian, first of all, we need to be taught about salvation, but once we're taught, we need to go out and teach others. Teach others. Are we teaching? We need to teach. What do we teach? I love that verse too, of course. I was thinking of it this week, Isaiah 54 and 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So if you've any influence over any children, your own children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, maybe. nephews, nieces, children in the children's meeting Sunday school. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, but the Lord will use you to teach them. That's the point. Simple point. I'm not saying anything new tonight, just underlining some truths as we think about the children's meeting. We all ought to be teaching. And what do we teach? What did Christ teach? Well, that's the next point. What did Christ teach? Well, very simple. What do you learn in school? I don't know where this expression ever came up, but they say you go to school to learn the 3 R's, reading, writing and arithmetic. And if you write the word writing without the W in it, you're going to get in trouble. But they say the 3 R's. And it's the same in the Christian life. It's the same. You can sum up the teaching of Christ, the greatest teacher, in the 3 R's. What are they? Ruined by sin. That's what we need to teach. And that's what Joyce taught. When I sat in and heard her teach, she was faithful, teaching the boys and girls through the stories to do with Elijah. She taught, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught, the ruin through sin. You see, Christ talked about the source of sin. That's why the Pharisees hated him. Because they thought they lived above sin. Because they kept all their little rules and regulations. And the Lord said to them, for instance, in Mark 6, it's out of the heart proceeds murders, envy, and so on. It's in your heart. Heart's deceitful. Oh, you might not do the outward things of drunkenness and so on, but your heart. That's what we've been talking about in Genesis 3, what total depravity means. It just means that we're dead as regards God. Our hearts are wicked, deceitful. We can't know him. None that seeketh after him. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught that. He taught that. Ah, but he taught the slavery of sin. He told the crowd, and especially the Pharisees, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. You can't set yourself free. You need a deliverer from sin. Again, haven't we been doing that in Genesis 3? Adam and Eve needed a deliverer. He taught about the sentence of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about hell, and he warned about hell probably at least 5 times or more, as much as he talked about heaven. And he warned his hearers, I'm sure with a tear in his eye as he did it, to flee from the wrath to come, that there is a hell. He told them the story, the rich man lifting up his eyes in hell. He described it in other places where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. He spoke about the ruin of man through sin. Ah, but thank God the Lord Jesus Christ taught, and so should we, about redemption. Redemption through the blood. Oh, even in the very chapter of where Nicodemus came to him by night in John 3, he said, we know, Master, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. And what did Christ teach him? Oh, lovely verse in chapter 15 about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He told his disciples over and over again. For time I don't turn to it. He talked in Mark 10, for instance, how the chief priests, and they'll take the Son of Man and they'll scourge him and he'll be crucified. He'll be spat upon. And over and as the closer he got to Calvary, as the days rolled closer to Calvary, he taught again and again and repeated it and repeated it and repeated it that he was going to Jerusalem to die. The message that we tell the boys and girls has to be about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the climax of all the Gospels, the last week of his life. Ruin through sin, redemption through the blood. What else needs to be taught? And of course, you need to listen tonight if you're not saved, because this is the gospel we're talking about. You're ruined through sin. Your only hope is redemption through the blood of Christ. And your only hope is by a miracle. We call that regeneration through the Spirit. You say, what's that big word regeneration mean? It means what the Lord told Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. He starts to ask him these questions, and the Lord just interrupts, because he is the supreme sovereign teacher. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And right away, all Nicodemus' hopes and his own religious works were gone. God doesn't do a miracle in my life, I'll never be in heaven. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. And Nicodemus was touched. How do you know Nicodemus was touched and the Lord was getting through to him? Because he didn't ask why he needed to be born again. He said, how? How? Of course, the Lord explained to him. You must be born from above. You have to be born from above. Just as you get into your family by physical birth, to be a believer, to be a Christian, to be in Christ, you have to have a spiritual birth. Do you know, there's a little chorus we sometimes sing, do you know that you've been born again? Isn't that a good one to teach the children? Do you know that you've been born again? That's another great chorus. See, sometimes when you get up past the children's meetings and the adulthood, you kind of look down and think the children's choruses don't contain much. Now, I'm not saying they all contain a lot. Maybe there's some that don't, but you kind of think, well, we've advanced. Well, let me tell you, I've reached my second childhood. Because as you think about them again, can there be anything, a better thing to teach the children than, do you know that you've been born again? Does the Spirit dwell within, bearing witness that you've been cleansed from sin and so on? Wonderful. Or one that they sang this week. I remember them singing it. No, you can't get to heaven without. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Sing it out! Shout it! And the boys, and what a great chorus to teach them. What a great chorus to teach them that'll come back to their mind. That's what the Lord taught. You can sum up the ministry of Christ as the teacher. He taught about sin. He taught about the need for redemption through the blood. He taught about the need for regeneration by the Spirit of God. And of course, it comes to ask you tonight, are you born again? Have you received salvation? Have you come to the place in your life where you've bowed before Him? Have you? Well, we're talking about children tonight and thanking the children's workers and asking you to pray for the children's meetings as it recommences. But the question to we adults is, are you born again? Are you? Are you saved tonight? Have you called upon Him? Have you been taught of the Lord that you're a sinner? Have you been taught of the Lord that the only salvation is through His blood, His redeeming blood? Have you been taught that you need to cry for the Holy Spirit to come and make you a new creature and cry? Have you? Those are the basic lessons. Those are the basic lessons in the school of Christ. Just very quickly, a few thoughts on how He taught. And this is how all of us are to seek to teach the young and anyone else. And I'll just go through them very quickly. The Lord Jesus Christ was classed in this way. People were amazed the very first time He preached in His hometown of Nazareth. You know what it says? Matthew 7. The crowds were amazed at His teaching because He taught them as one having authority. He taught with authority. Now, we don't mean dogmatic, domineering, dictatorial attitude. But authority. You see, the Pharisees didn't teach with authority. And you get places today and they don't teach with authority. It says, oh, well, if you do the best you can, well, maybe there's a heaven, maybe there's this, or maybe, and well, no, listen, you have the authority of the Word of God. Because when you teach in the children's meeting or Sunday school class or wherever, or your own relatives at home, and you sit down, seek to have a minute with them, listen, you're teaching with authority because this Word of God shall never pass away. You quote the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. It's the Word of God that saves. It's God's Word will not return unto Him void. What greater way of teaching is it to teach boys and girls the precious Word of God? And night by night a memory verse was taught. And of course nowadays with the PowerPoint or whatever they call it, they're able to put it on the computer and the screen and then take words out to make it easier to learn, and the children repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and you take other words. And what are they doing? Teaching the Word of God. The Bible says in Exodus and so on. The Bible says. teach with authority. It's not a maybe. You teach with clarity. Some people can say a lot without saying anything. You speak with clarity, not a definite maybe. There's a famous US president went to a church and somebody asked him, well, why do you go to that church? He says, well, there's one thing about that church. He's against sin. When he preaches, you know he's against sin. You don't have to think about it. You know that he's against it. Clarity. With simplicity. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ taught, it says the common people heard him gladly. They knew what he was talking about. A muddy river isn't always deep. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher, of course, he's God. He made it simple. And the common, ordinary 5-8 heard him gladly. Isn't that amazing? Remember one book, it was actually in the tabernacle years ago I bought, and the man said in the foreword, too often times the tabernacle's taught to giraffes instead of the sheep. You know what he meant? It's taught to some they think it's intellectual giant. Way above everybody. No, listen. That's not the way Bible teaching ought to be done. The common people heard him. We have to preach with simplicity. And when the Lord met a woman at a well, he talked about water. When he met fishermen, he talked about fish. And he brought the gospel in. Teach with simplicity, especially those who work with children. Teach with simplicity. And God has made the way of salvation so plain that even a child who knows right from wrong and knows it's a sinner and needs a Savior can be saved. Oh, I know there's a debate, and I've met them. I've met people who have tried to tell me that you can't really know you're saved until some talk about 18. I know of certain churches over in America and they don't believe you can be converted till you're 18. What utter nonsense. Others talk about 12 or 13 because that's when a Jewish boy goes through the bar mitzvah. Rubbish. Absolute nonsense. Now, I don't know the age for each individual. I'm not God. It's in God's hands. But I think of Matthew Henry's commentary, saved as a young lad, I can't remember, 7 or 5, some of you probably know, tell me after, but the great commentator was saved as a young child. Know of others that were saved. Oh, I know we have to be careful. I know it's more than just telling the child, do you love Jesus, because they could love Bambi or something. But if you can explain their ruin through sin and they understand that I'm ruined, I need a Savior, and they're able to trust in Christ, a little child can be saved. Recently, the church where my father belonged to before he died some years ago, and my sister, although she's been in Colombia well over 40 years, they've published a little book. It's Great Victoria Street Baptist. They published a book of all the missionaries from their church, from the foundation. I wrote an article. It was actually in another magazine, but they took it in their book about my late father, who worked for the Baptist Union for many years as a personal worker, and then my sister's in it as well, who's of those many years in Colombia. Now, my sister's older than I am, but my father and mother, especially in later life when my mother lived with us, would tell us they remember at 5-year-old Rosemary just speaking to my mother saying she wanted to come to Christ. Ach, well, you'd never understand at that age. When she was 6, they were sitting in a mission in High Street. See, when I was young, that was still a bombed out site from the Second World War. Now, I was not alive in the Second World War, by the way. But there was a bomb site where they used to have missions, late Frank Knox, Sandy Wilson. And the late Sandy Wilson was having a mission. I wasn't even born then. But the father and mother said they didn't prompt her in any way. But Sandy Wilson said, if you've never made your profession public, would you like to come forward? And Rosemary turned to my father and mother and said, I want to go forward because I believe in Christ. Was it real? Well, when she was worked in the civil service a few years, she said, Mom and Dad, I love you. But the Lord's calling me to be a missionary. Means I'll be away. And I suppose it wouldn't be more than 2 years in all those 40-some years she was ever back in Northern Ireland. What about her husband? He is a Colombian. born into a staunch Roman Catholic family, but the two WEC missionaries preaching the gospel in the back streets there of Colombia, Juan and his brother heard those missionaries as boys, little boys, and trusted Christ. And then their mother got saved. The first time she heard the gospel, never went back to the Mass. Can God save children? Yes. Preach it with simplicity, plainness of speech, because the gospel is taught simply. If they're going through a door, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You're saying, but I'd love to be saved. How can I be saved? What does it mean to believe? Well, let me put it with great simplicity in the Lord's own words. It's like going through a door. Take the step of faith. It's said it's like taking a drink of water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Spiritually take Christ. It's like receiving a gift. We take him. It's accepting an invitation. It's like eating a meal. Come, for all things are now ready. What simplicity. We can invite them to Christ. I love the greatest Scottish theologian, Dr. Guthrie, was dying. You know what he said as he was dying? Sing me a bairn's hymn. Sing me a child's hymn. He was one of the greatest Scottish theologians. Sing me a child's hymn. That's what he wanted, to go out into eternity. Have you seen the simplicity of salvation? Time's gone, but I know some of you want to get the martyr, so just let me very quickly say, teach it lovingly. Oh, pray for Christ to give us his love, that the boys and girls and those we speak to will know that we love them for Christ's sake. Teach them relevantly. Don't get off on sidelines. Challenge them. Teach them patiently. Patiently. Teach them again. And as it actually says in a verse in the Gospels, he taught them again. He taught them again. And I don't have time to go into the story. You probably know it, of the Puritan who preached. And there was a young lad, I think I'm right, in his teens, heard the Puritan preach. He went off to the colonies as it then was. And it wasn't until he was in his 90s that he remembered back what he had heard as a young boy. And the Holy Spirit took that message that he had been taught, he had heard preached, and he testified that sermon he heard those decades ago spoke to his heart. Oh, that God would enable us to teach. That God would bless the children's work in our church. 200.